Hey everybody, welcome back. You know, we're seeing these defense budgets increasing all over the world lately. And you'd think more money, well, obviously means more weapons, right? But it turns out it's not that simple.
Not at all.
And thankfully, we've got this Aviation Maintenance Magazine article, Driving Throughput, the Blueprint for Rapid Scaling and Defense Production. It really breaks it all down. Get ready for Top Gun, but instead of fighter jets, we're talking factories.
That's right.
Today, we're diving deep into defense production.
Yeah, it's definitely way more complicated than just kind of flipping a switch and getting more stuff out the door. Think about it like this. You're trying to cook a huge meal in your kitchen, right?
Yeah.
You can't just make three times the food with the same oven and the same ingredients.
Yeah.
You hit these limits, these bottlenecks. Same thing in the defense industry.
Okay, so no more cakes for the party. More like, we're really talking about serious stuff here, and this article mentions defense companies having to like triple their output practically overnight.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
It's almost unheard of, this kind of surge in demand. And, it all ties back to what's going on in the world, sadly. These global conflicts mean we need more military equipment, and that means companies got to adapt.
Right, so more conflict equals more demand. That part seems pretty straightforward. But where do they even begin? The article talks about this company that makes composite parts. And those are those strong but lightweight materials that go into pretty much everything from jets to drones these days, right?
Practically.
So what happened when this huge spike in demand hit them?
Well, this company is a great example of what almost every manufacturer is dealing with right now. It was like this perfect storm of problems hitting them all at once. Tons of new orders, but then tons of problems with how to actually produce them.
Yeah.
Huge cost overruns because things weren't done right the first time, redoing things, confusing instructions. It was just chaos on the factory floor.
Oh man, I can relate to that. My desk is the same way sometimes. Papers everywhere, and no clear path to find anything. Maybe I need a factory consultant to come help me organize my workspace. But how do these companies even begin to tackle that kind of overwhelming situation?
You might be onto something with that whole consultant idea. A well-organized desk, and in this case, a well-organized factory floor, is so critical. This article highlights some really smart solutions for those bottlenecks. And it's not just about working harder, it's really a whole new way of thinking.
Okay, I'm all ears because I think my to-do list needs some new thinking too. What are the solutions?
Well, the first one they talk about is data analytics.
Yeah.
Think of it like X-ray vision, but for your factory. You can see where things are moving smoothly and where things are getting held up. And once you have that information, that's when you can really make some magic happen.
Data, it's the key to everything these days, right? So they use this data to streamline things.
Exactly. And that leads us to the next strategy, asset utilization. It's about making sure every single machine and every tool is performing at its absolute best, no slacking allowed.
Wow, so every machine has its own personal trainer now, huh? Making sure they get their reps in. But seriously, I can see how making sure every piece of equipment is pulling its weight would be huge.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And having all that data from those analytics we talked about, it really helps target the areas where they need to use this asset utilization. They're tracking everything, uptime, downtime, maintenance schedules, anything that can impact how a machine is performing.
So they're basically predicting the future of their machines. That must play into this whole preventive maintenance thing too, right? Fix a small problem before it becomes this huge, messy, factory-stopping disaster.
Exactly. Instead of waiting for something to break down completely and throw everything off, they can use this data to predict when something might go wrong. It's like hearing that weird sound your car makes and taking it to the mechanic before it leaves you stranded. It's that kind of forward thinking.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Who needs a time machine when you've got data right? But what about this footprint rationalization thing? It kind of sounded like they're just moving furniture around, but with like million-dollar machines.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Taking a close look at the entire factory floor and saying, okay, how can we make every single square foot work as hard as it possibly can? Think of it like this, when you reorganize your drawers to fit more stuff in. Same idea, but instead of socks and t-shirts, it's these high-tech machines and assembly lines.
And the article mentioned that company that moved part of its production down to Mexico. Was that an example of this footprint rationalization in action?
Definitely. They realized that moving certain operations to a whole new location could mean big cost savings and make them a lot more efficient. And it's not just about finding cheaper labor, though, that can definitely be a factor. It let them find new skilled workers, improve their supply chain, and overall just make their entire operation smoother.
Okay, so they're basically getting smarter with their resources, right? Both in terms of actual space and also people working in that space. kind of like how we're all supposed to be working from home now, got to maximize that home office space. So we've covered data analytics, asset utilization, and this whole footprint rethink. What about production readiness? What's the secret ingredient there?
Well, you wouldn't start baking a cake without making sure you have all the ingredients first, right? Production readiness is exactly that. Being prepared, having every single thing you need lined up before you even start, raw materials,
yep.
Skilled labor, you got it, tools and equipment, ready to go.
No last minute runs to the grocery store for that missing ingredient. I can definitely get behind that kind of planning. But seriously, that must save so many headaches later down the line.
Absolutely. Every little delay, every little thing that goes wrong can snowball into this massive problem for the whole production line. Being proactive and thinking ahead helps them avoid those things that can bring everything to a screeching halt.
Okay, I'm really starting to see how all of these things work together, but we've still got one more to go. Cultural change. And I'll be honest, this is the one that's got me a little stumped. How do you just change the entire culture of a factory, especially in an industry like defense? It seems like they've always done things a certain way.
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's definitely not easy. But the companies that are doing it right understand that. You can have the best technology, the most efficient processes in the world, but none of it matters without the right people to make it all work.
Because at the end of the day, you can't automate everything, right? You still need skilled workers to run those machines to make decisions to keep things moving.
Exactly. And that's where cultural change comes in. It's about making sure your employees feel valued and respected, and that they have the power to do their best work. Remember that company we talked about that moved production to Mexico? They were really focused on training their employees and supporting them through that whole change. That's a perfect example of cultural change in action.
So it's not just about telling people, hey, we're doing things differently now. It's about giving them the resources, the training, the support to actually want to be a part of that change. Makes sense. But I imagine it's probably not always easy, right? There's got to be some pushback, some resistance to doing things in a new way.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in places that have been around for so long doing things the same old way. Change is never easy, right?
Right.
But the companies that are really nailing this whole thing, they get it. They understand that it takes some serious planning to implement these changes the right way.
So it's not about forcing change. It's more like bringing people along with you.
Yeah.
And that's where good communication comes in.
100%. Employees need to understand why things are changing, how it's going to benefit them, what their role is going to be in this whole new system. It's about bringing people along on the journey. And that definitely takes time and effort and a whole lot of patience.
It's like learning any new skill, I guess. Got to be patient with yourself and patient with everybody else, too. So even though it's tough, the companies that are making this cultural shift are seeing some positive results.
Huge results. They're seeing big improvements in efficiency, productivity, profitability.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond just meeting the demand we have right now for defense products.
Yeah.
It's about setting themselves up for success down the line, too.
So they're not just adapting to the present. They're really trying to shape the future of the whole industry.
Exactly. They're not just keeping up. They're actually becoming the leaders.
Wow. We've covered a lot of ground today, from data analytics to cultural change and everything in between. This whole driving throughput idea is fascinating.
It really is.
But before we wrap things up, I want to go back to something you said earlier about being flexible and adapting quickly.
You know, we live in a world that's constantly changing, and it's changing faster than ever. The companies that can't keep up with that pace, they're going to get left behind.
That's true for just about every industry these days, I think. So here's my question for you. What can the defense industry learn from some of these other sectors that are known for being agile and innovative? What are they doing differently?
That's a really great question. I think the defense industry could learn a lot from the tech world and from startups in particular. For example, the tech sector has really embraced this idea of rapid prototyping and iteration.
You mean like the whole fail fast, learn fast mentality.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of spending years and billions of dollars developing a single product, they've adopted a much faster approach. They release new products quickly and often, and then they use feedback from users to make those products better over time.
And that lets them respond to changes in the market so much faster.
Exactly. And I think the defense industry could really benefit from that same kind of thinking. It's about being open to trying new things, taking calculated risks, and learning from your mistakes.
But what about the whole idea of failure? I mean, the defense industry is kind of known for being very risk averse, right?
That's true. There's definitely a certain level of risk that they're naturally uncomfortable with. But that's where they can learn another valuable lesson from the startup world, the importance of embracing failure.
Hey, are you saying that failure is a good thing?
Well, maybe not good exactly, but it's definitely necessary. Startups understand that success is rarely a straight line. There are going to be setbacks, mistakes, even outright failures along the way. What really matters is what you learn from those experiences.
So it's about building a culture where it's okay to take some risks, to experiment, and yeah, even to fail sometimes.
Exactly. A culture where failure is seen as an opportunity to learn and to grow stronger.
Well said. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, and I think this is a good place for us to wrap up this deep dive.
It's been great chatting with you.
Likewise. And a huge thank you to all of our listeners for joining us on this journey today. We hope you found it informative and thought-provoking.
Until next time.
Stay curious, everyone.